Spectacular, Spectacular by Insane Idiot, read by Mekon199. It was an event to be regarded with awe and terror, to be described to one's grandchildren in years to come, to be discussed afterwards in hushed whispers. There were feasts to rival any gourmet banquet, scheming and intrigue beyond any royal court, fashion as elaborate and spectacular as any fashion show in Paris. It had the potential to make or break the careers of thousands of bright, upcoming lawyers, doctors, designers, politicians, artists. It was a serious matter of life or death, except perhaps to its two organizers, to a certain pair of staff members, and to a small, select group of students. It was the annual Horatsuba-Oron joint festival to celebrate cooperation and foster goodwill between the two schools. Assuming by annual, what one actually meant was, this is the first year, and after the disaster it potentially will become, it probably will never happen again. Suo Richijo and Yuko Richijo had come up with the idea when drunk, which explained an awful lot. It explained even more once you had met each of them sober. The festival, such as it was rather like a more grand-scale version of the event Oron put on every year, if such a thing were even possible. It was to be held on the campus of Horatsuba, being a small, or perhaps not so small, city in its own right, and thus bigger even than Oron, which did not have cinema or shopping complexes, and did not have a great hall quite so great. Each club at both schools was giving a display at some time. Equivalent clubs were, in theory, supposed to meet ahead of time and collaborate. It was questionable how much this was actually likely to happen. But clubs such as Oron's High School Division Host Club were left to their own devices. The displays were scheduled in blocks so that students could visit other displays when not at their own, and students in the Go Home Right After School Club were rostered to help with general duties. In actual fact, the words general duties were being used as a euphemism for the reality that said students were really Yuko's personal slaves, far more onerous a task than simply manning a display. Watanuki, don't forget the celebratory champagne. As such, Watanuki Kimihiro, who'd been running around all morning carrying cases of various alcoholic substances, most of them for Yuko herself, was seriously considering serial homicide, a desire that grew stronger every time the Mokuna twins asked him if he'd like some help, or Domiki loitered around just being. Of course, all that changed when he finally went off duty. Watanuki had been rostered on for most of the day, unlike the other, surprisingly few, students, doing their penance as Yuko slaves. Sorry, helping out performing general duties. Clearly proving that Horatsuba's Richijo was a being of pure evil who was out to get him, Watanuki, specifically. But he was off duty. A chorus of angels sang out in celebration. Flowers and violins filled the background. Stars sparkled in his eyes as he floated through the air with his hands clasped. Himawari-chan, Watanuki caroled, in a distorted world of pink hearts and happiness. Figure skating. I bet she's even cuter in her costume. I can't wait to see. You missed it, Domiki informed him, completely matter-of-factly, puncturing Watanuki's dream while he ate an onigiri that Watanuki had made. It was scheduled for the morning. What? Shaoran wanted to watch Sakura-chan, Domiki added, while Watanuki deflated and wailed about harsh, harsh fate, and more to the point, Yuko, who had so done it on purpose. Domiki patiently kept eating while Watanuki ranted, which was the most obnoxious thing that annoying guy could possibly be doing, and subsequently reminded Watanuki of something else. And, hey, wait, why are you even here? Why aren't you on archery? Can't you find someone else to harass? Domiki shrugged. It's not on until later, he said calmly, and Watanuki plummeted into misery. Why, cruel world, he moaned into his hands, a cloud of doom and despair descending down upon him. Is it not enough that I have to be that crazy woman's slave? Is it not enough that I miss Himawari-chan figure skating? Why must I also be subjected to Domiki stalking me? Domiki, completely unbothered by Watanuki's hysterics, finished eating his onigiri. The others are at one of the Oron displays, he said. The girls like the costumes. Watanuki brightened up immediately. He'd missed Himawari skating, but if she wasn't skating, that meant she was on break, and he could spend time with her going around the displays. It was a win-win situation. Himawari-chan, he exclaimed blissfully, and went to run off and leave Domiki far, far behind, when it occurred to him that Domiki hadn't told him where or which club, and the building complex housing the event was enormous. He came to a screeching halt and turned to glare hatefully over his shoulder at Domiki. I'll show you, Domiki said, utterly deadpan. But if you looked closely, there was maybe just a hint of smugness in his aura. Of course, Watanuki didn't look closely and thus didn't notice, which was probably just as well. Meanwhile, at their own display, Oron's high school division host club were doing a booming trade dressed as a troop of acrobats, which was apparently very festive of them, and had been Tamaki's idea, as all such ideas inevitably were. Ritsu had, perhaps unfortunately for the sake of their business, made yet another appearance and was monopolizing Haruhi's attention. She didn't seem to mind, though Tamaki definitely did. Kyoya had had to remind their idiot leader that Haruhi had already turned down Ritsu in the most definitive way possible. I'm so glad we're friends. Possibly being Haruhi without even realizing it. And even then, he'd had to find some way to distract Tamaki from making a very unprofitable scene which would blow Haruhi's secret. And so, Tamaki had instead taken it upon himself to be a messenger of love, because every festival needs one of those. In fact, everyone needs one of those, at all times, and really, he was just doing the charitable thing, by fulfilling a necessary function in society. Which was why he was harassing the teacher stationed to oversee their display. I think you should admit your deep and meaningful love for each other, he said earnestly. Love is a beautiful thing. Your love makes you strong, Tamaki added, beaming at the scowling gym teacher while in the background the blonde chemistry teacher was giggling hysterically. It will make you happy. Beat it, kid, Kurogane growled, glaring evilly at Tamaki, who had rushed off to some point to change into a Cupid costume. Do your job and quit annoying me. But I am doing my job, Tamaki told him, practically glowing with angelic innocence. I, Suo Tamaki, as king of the Oron High School Host Club, am devoted to bringing love and beauty to the lives of all. Kurogane looked like he was beginning to feel trapped. Then go bring it to someone who appreciates it. Kuro-pyan, is something the matter? No! He's having a hard time admitting the deep and passionate ardor you share, Fai-sensei, Tamaki said sadly, and then struck a heroic pose. Love goes beyond all boundaries. Be proud. Admit your love. Don't be a hypocrite, Tono. Hikaru scolded lightly as he and Kaoru waltzed over, arm in arm, and Tamaki gasped in melodramatic shock. How could you accuse me of such a thing? He demanded, stung. I freely admit my love, pure and true, for heart. Sorry about that, Kaoru said brightly to Kurogane, who was twitching like he might explode at any moment, and removed his hand from Tamaki's mouth. Carry on. Huh? Tamaki said blankly, temporarily derailed, and shook his head before he remembered what he'd been saying. Oh, right. Be a martyr for your love. Love forbidden by society is all the sweeter. Said Kurogane, who hated hypocrisy, and was sharply eyeing the shrewd boy in glasses who was watching them from the other side of the room, or who, more accurately, had been carefully monitoring Tamaki the entire time. I tell Kururu the same thing all the time, Fai confided, and Tamaki patted him on the arm consolingly. He looks scary, but he's very shy secretly. Like Hasanova-kun, Tamaki said understandingly, not making any sense to either of them, and Kurogane glowered at both of them. You've never said that, he snapped, and I am not. I tell him of my love every day, Vi added, with Oscar-winning mournfulness. He coldly turns me aside. It's because he's afraid, Tamaki gasped, eyes shining with the romantic and poetic tragedy of it. Afraid of the depth of your love for him. Afraid of society's condemnation. No, it's because he's irritating and an idiot, Kurogane snapped, which was strictly untrue because Fai was lying in the first place, and only bothered to respond at all because silence may have been taken as tacit agreement. Fai, however, was undeterred. Kuromu, you know you love me, really, he exclaimed, and flung his arms around Kurogane's neck, impervious to Kurogane's instinctual violent flail. No, I don't, you lunatic! Now get off! Fight for your love, Tamaki encouraged Fai, shining with enthusiasm. He hasn't thrown you in the pool or through the window yet. There's still hope. It was times like these Kurogane almost hated his life. Watanuki, when accosted by Tamaki as Cupid, trying to persuade of his deep and undying love for Domaki, presumably because they walked in the door together, had stared in horror and quickly run away, unfortunately not managing to find Himawari or shake Domaki in the process. Yuko, meanwhile, had climbed in through the window next to Kurogane as was her wont, almost giving him a heart attack and making him yell in apoplectic rage about her bad habits and bad example setting. Yuko, after laughing at him judicially and teasing him with the aid of both Mokuna, who had followed her through the window and were now sitting on each of Fai's shoulders, had moved on to surveying the progress of the host club display, which included her favorite group of victims. Students. The girl in your club, her name is Fujioka Haruhi, correct? She said thoughtfully, tapping her folded glasses against her lips as she came up behind Kiyoya. To his credit, he didn't jump or yelp, just looked at her with an assessing glint in his eyes. So you noticed, he said politely, not stupid enough to attempt to deny it. Richijo. Over where Haruhi and Ritsu were sitting, small-scale drama was unfolding as Tamaki grew bored of playing Cupid and went back to trying to split them up, while the rest of the club ran interference, and the twins occasionally swapped sides and tried to help him. Haruhi was ignoring them all, possibly having built up an immunity through long months of exposure, and Tetsuya was hovering by in case he needed to step in to protect Ritsu. Yuko and Kiyoya watched the antics in silence for a while until Yuko spoke again, apparently casual, but with an extra layer of meaning subtly concealed in her words. Fujioka-kun does seem to draw a certain type, doesn't she? Kiyoya glanced at her sharply. Oh? Boys who try persistently for her attention, despite her apparently genuine disinterest in them as anything but friends, Yuko said, eyes knowing even while her tone was mild. Who are too silly to realize that there is someone else completely devoted to they themselves. Kiyoya didn't respond for a moment, just shifted his eyes away from her to Tamaki and back. Indeed. It's no reflection on her, Yuko added, with a cat-and-cream smile. But it does remind me of three of my own adorable students. Kiyoya followed her gaze to another corner of the room, where Himawari suggested to Watanuki that they go visit the cooking club display. And Kiyoya smirked faintly as Himawari turned to invite Domaki, and Watanuki accelerated straight from bliss to rage. Yes, I believe I see your point, he said, and sighed when he noticed that his intervention was needed in the Tamaki situation. I apologize. If you'll excuse me. Oh, by all means, Yuko said brightly, accepting a beer from one of her slaves. That was, one of the students on general duties. Don't let me stop you. Free entertainment should always be accepted, after all. By the end of the day, there was a lot of mess, and everyone was worn out and a little grumpy, but all in all, it had been a success. Or hadn't been the spectacular disaster it could have been, at least. Yuko would probably try again next year, ever hopeful to see things explode in an entertaining manner, especially one that left Shaoran and Sakura baffled and Watanuki incoherent with the unfairness of it all. Tamaki, the messenger of love, had made on-and-off reappearances throughout the day, probably the only welcome one of which being when he popped up to shower petals over Shaoran and Sakura and proclaimed their joyous union blessed. They'd almost died of terminal blushing, but they had at least seemed very happy, Sakura shyly taking Shaoran's hand, and Shaoran almost passing out from the shock. Kurogane had, despite Fai's continued pestering, failed to put the blonde through any windows or dump him in any pools, proving, at least on the Phi and Tamaki scale of affections, that he really did love him. Or at least didn't hate him the way he pretended to. There may have been some slight fondness there. Maybe. He did drive Phi to one of their homes afterwards, but that was probably just because Phi had stolen his keys. Still, progress was progress, and Tamaki had cheered them on valiantly. Kurogane had almost gone back solely to strangle him. Watanuki had ended up going to Domagi's archery display and watched him perform, despite the fact that Himawari had already gone home. He couldn't explain it himself and felt awkward, so snapped at Domagi particularly hard to make up for it afterwards. But Domagi had seemed content in his unreadable Domagi kind of way. Ritsu, dejected, had finally given up for the day and decided to go home. Tetsuya, of course, accompanied him on the walk home. The twins had started a betting pool on if and when Ritsu would realize that Tetsuya was completely besotted with him. Kiyoya uncharacteristically didn't place a bet, and Haruhi didn't either, but expressed the view that she thought it would be sooner than the other bets so far suggested. While Ritsu's facial expressions didn't give any sort of clue, there was a certain shyness about him beneath a scary exterior that hinted that Haruhi may be correct. As for the members of the host club themselves, well, all was business as usual. Haruhi had gone home while Tamaki was busy going into flights of drama over Kurogane and Fai's deep and illicit love for each other as the teachers were leaving. Tamaki, once he'd noticed, had wailed about Haruhi abandoning him so coldly without so much as goodbye. But when all was said and done and everyone had packed up and left in trickles, Tamaki had recovered soon enough, finishing the cleanup with Kiyoya. Obvious, easy camaraderie and trust hovering between them, and maybe, just maybe, the potential for something more. And, in Yuko's office in another area of the campus, the two Richijo were celebrating the success of their project. "A toast," Yuko exclaimed, holding up a bottle of something fruity and alcoholic, and Suo Richijo held up his glass for her to pour a very enthusiastic serving, grinning brightly. "We'll have to do this again next year," he said brightly, and clinked his glass against her bottle. "I'm glad you could join in my joy at teasing my idiot son." "Quite," Yuko said, far from done with Suo Tamaki, and laughed with evil delight as somewhere on the other side of town, Tamaki shuddered and wondered if someone had just walked over his grave. Kiss, kiss, fall.